Welcome to the AI Learners Lounge. I'm your host, Cambria, and this is a podcast where AI meets learning and development. From exploring how AI facilitates individual learning to understanding its integration into broader organizational strategies, we tackle it all. Every episode brings fresh perspectives, innovative ideas, and actionable advice for those looking to weave AI into the fabric of the modern learning experience. Join me as we navigate the intersection of technology and human potential right here on the AI Learner Lounge. Hello, and welcome back to the AI Learner Lounge podcast for episode 32, where today we're going to be looking at how instructional designers are actually using AI. So we see a lot on social media sharing prompts and use cases, but a lot of times it's just an example or a hypothetical use case. So it might be that somebody shares a really cool idea or a really cool prompt, but in reality, it doesn't really fit our business needs or our situation, and it's not something we'd use for our daily work. So I was really excited last week because I came across some research by Dr. Philippa Hardman, where she had interviewed instructional designers to learn about how they're using generative AI. Now, on this podcast, I've interviewed several individuals and learned about how they're using it, but that's a really small pool. So seeing her more broad research was really interesting to me, and I think it will be to you too. And because these individuals that I've interviewed are on my podcast, more likely than not, they're using AI more often and differently than the majority of instructional designers. So today, that's what I wanted to share with some of Dr. Philippa Harmon's findings and to discuss what it means for learning and development and you as an instructional designer. So just to get started, I'll start by sharing a little bit more about her research, and you can find a link in the description. So Dr. Philippa Hardman conducted 150 interviews with instructional designers from around the world at all different levels in the organization, so junior level employees, mid-level, and senior. And she really had one goal, and that was to understand if and how AI is impacting their day-to-day work. So through these interviews and her analysis of the findings, she really had five key points, and we're going to discuss each of those in this episode. So her first finding was that 95.3% of instructional designers are using AI in their day-to-day work. Now, 95% is huge, and if we contrast that to Slack's recent survey that found that 1 in 4 desk workers, so 25%, have tried AI at work. Not that they're necessarily using it. It seems like learning and development's a little bit ahead of the curve here. So with less than 5% not using it for day-to-day work, there really is a risk of falling behind if you're not at least experimenting with AI. And for those 5% who weren't, her research found that the main reason for not using it was unclear AI guidelines. So that really gets back to our organizations and, first of all, how we're developing awareness through policies and guidelines and setting requirements, and then also developing AI literacy to be able to use these tools effectively and appropriately. And then moving into her second finding, from her interviews, she found that AI is primarily being used at design and development stages. So if we think of it in terms of the ADDIE model, where we have analysis, design, development, implementation, and evaluation, that's how she broke out the different use cases. So analysis, that initial looking into things and identifying root causes, understanding the situation, using AI for that only accounted for 5.5% of use cases. And then getting into design, it was 32.1%. Development was 53.2%. And then implementation was less than 2%, with evaluation right around 7%. So when we break that down further, her third finding showed that the number one use case was content creation for that development phase. So most often it was video creation. That's where we see things like the AI avatars. We have AI narration that we can put in our videos. Soon we're also going to have Sora too, which is OpenAI's text-to-video model. So there's a lot of opportunities in how we're creating our videos to be able to add AI into that process. And beyond video creation, the second use case that they had identified most often was content drafting. So that's where we hear things like creating scripts and lesson plans, generating quizzes, all those different things that fall into that content drafting as part of the content creation. So when we get beyond that content creation, that's where we get into her fourth finding, which I think is really interesting because this is more of the future of learning and development and how we're using AI. So with that, she found that instructional designers are starting to use it in the design phase more. So compared with last year, more of the instructional designers are starting to use AI as a thought partner in the design process. So what that looks like, it could be ideation, brainstorming with AI, generating ideas or suggestions for course topics, learning activities, even content format, those type of things. And then for creative thinking as well. So thinking outside of the box, getting different perspectives on things, learning new instructional strategies, creating innovative materials, all those were different use cases specifically that she had identified through these interviews. So as we understand the tools better and we get more comfortable with them, we're going to be able to expand past our content generation mindset and really get creative with how we're using AI in different phases in our instructional design work where it's going to be able to be applied. And the final finding from her work was that more change is on the way. So AI is evolving. It's changing all the time. We're getting comfortable with the tools. We're learning to use them better. We're changing our mindsets a little bit as companies begin to adopt them and we have different opportunities to use them and explore them. So what she found is that several instructional designers are already exploring AI's potential in other areas. So there's a trend towards innovative applications like using AI in the subject matter expert process. So as we're working with subject matter experts currently in our work without AI, there's often a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of wait time. We're really reliant on them. So the use cases that she found was being able to use AI as a tool to get to know the topic and the domain, reducing that reliance that we have sometimes on our subject matter experts. Now, of course, when it completely removed them from the process, we'd still want their expertise and their context, but it could help get us started, help us understand a topic, and then even look to see what are we missing? What do we need to know that AI can't answer because it doesn't know the context yet, or that our subject matter experts do know? And then possibly even bringing AI in as a tool to analyze some of the things we're hearing from subject matter experts. So if we have five different subject matter experts we're talking to, and AI can help us identify where the commonalities lie, where they're saying different things, what might we need to investigate just a little bit more to make sure that we understand the process. And then beyond working with subject matter experts, looking at data-driven decisions. So that's a scary one when we hear about AI ethics and responsible AI and having AI drive decisions. But really, it can be used as a tool to both generate and analyze data, both at the analysis phase of our work and the evaluation stages. And it gets less scary when we know that we're still involved as humans in the loop. We're not just outsourcing this to AI or automating our processes. Really, we're augmenting them and streamlining them. So that's where we can start to see more improvements with that. So these were the five key findings from Dr. Philippa Harman's interviews, and it seems many instructional designers are experimenting with and using AI for learning and development. So that's really only going to increase as we become more comfortable with these tools, as we continue to learn as new tools evolve. But one thing that wasn't mentioned as part of these interviews, and it just may not have came up, or it could be that less instructional designers are using it for this, but really it's AI with our learners. So moving beyond our workflows, how are we using AI in the learning experience? And on past podcast episodes, including a recent one that I had with Donald Clark, we've looked at different ways that we can use AI in the learning experience. So that could be everything from AI tutors and coaches to adaptive curriculum that's really based on the learner's needs or their performance, their skills that they have, and tailoring it to them. So right now, this area is relatively unexplored for most instructional designers. There's a few out there that are using it. I've used it a few, and there's a lot of opportunities too. There are also great tools that are coming out. So one that I've been experimenting with and really like, just even for my own learning and development, is practice AI. So with this tool, you can have a conversation and work on developing different soft skills that's specific to a context. So you could do this with GPTs or ChatGPT and have a voice dialogue through a prompt. But what sets this tool apart for me is that you get a report with feedback on your performance. So it tells you specific key areas that you did well in, where you need to improve, and it gives examples from the conversation to support it. So it's giving that evidence. And then at the end of the report is a transcript of the conversation. So you can see maybe if the AI misinterpreted something or something you didn't realize that you said, and it really supports why it's giving that feedback. So the nice thing too is as an instructional designer, you can create different scenarios for your learners and even set what that evaluation criteria is. So it's not the AI guessing what makes good performance, it's you telling it so that it can evaluate your learner's performance based on the context. So tools like this are only going to improve. And I think this is where we're really going to see something exciting in how we approach learning and development and really move us beyond content creation in our workflows. And then for our own professional growth too, having access to an AI mentor that we set up or focusing on what our skill gaps are, our personal growth plans. And it just brings a lot more opportunities for learning and development as a whole. Thank you for joining me for episode 33 of the AI Learner Lounge podcast. Please join me again next Tuesday for another episode.